Psalm 70 for the choir director, a psalm of David for a memorial. O God, hasten to deliver me. O Lord, hasten to my help. Let those be ashamed and humiliated who seek my life. Let those be turned back and dishonored who delight in my hurt. Let those be turned back because of their shame who say, aha, aha. Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you, and let those who love your salvation say continually, let God be magnified. But I am afflicted and needy. Hasten to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay. In God's providence, we are looking at Psalm 70, and I'm struck by the somber note of the prayer requests on one hand and the tune which we sang moments ago from Psalm 40, and the end of Psalm 40 is a quotation from Psalm 70, or vice versa. And so we'll be singing the end of Psalm 40 and these words which we just read momentarily. And the somber note reminds us of the trials and difficulties that we often face in this life. And sometimes we will think of the distress that comes upon us and simply utter, why me, Lord? Or simply, why? Psalm 70, I think, gives us an answer. And it does so in a rather striking way, it seems to me. Because in the end, we find out that God delights to come to us not only in trials that He brings to us, but He delights in our deliverance, and He delivers us in these trials to magnify His great name. And in the end, this is at least part of what we see in Psalm 40, that God puts us in these positions of trial and delivers us in order to magnify His great and glorious name. If you look at the psalm, you'll notice that there are those who seek the life of David to harm him and to laugh at him. And so it is with each of us. There are occasions when we come upon those who seek our lives to harm us and to laugh and scoff at us in our hardships. Let those be ashamed who seek my life. Let those be turned back and dishonored who delight in my hurt. Let those be turned back because of their shame who say, aha, aha, and laugh at us in our distress. You got what you deserved, didn't you? Well, we can think of Saul holding that spear or javelin and attempting with all of his might to pin David to the wall as David was singing sweet melodies and attempting to soothe Saul. And in his heart, Saul desired to kill him. And we can think of Absalom, David's own son, who desired to hurt David and undercut his position in the kingdom. And David fled. And as he fled, there was that man Shimei who cursed David as David ascended on the Mount of Olives. And Shimei cursed him and threw rocks and dirt at him. Man of blood, he called him. Not very pleasant. And we've all hit those circumstances in which we've been in deep despair. I can think of a circumstance in the church several years ago in which the leadership in the congregation wanted me out and opposed me on doctrinal grounds. Now, before you get any ideas, they were in opposition to the standards of the church and wanted to force me out because I held to the standards of the church. An amazing circumstance. Well, what do you do in such circumstances when you're in such a position? Well, one thing you may do is lament the circumstance. And that's not bad. It's quite interesting that the psalm that is before us is in the form of a lament. Notice what David says. Let those be ashamed and humiliated who seek my life. The second line of the parallelism is cut off, and the idea is that life is cut off. David is lamenting his circumstance. Let those be turned back and dishonored who delight in my hurt. And again, the line is paired and cut off in the form of this style of lament in the Hebrew language. Let those be turned back because of their shame who say, aha, aha. And we have this form again of the cry and the lament and the sorrow of David in his circumstance. And the meter or the rhythm is sometimes 3-2 or 4-3. And it's characteristic of this idea of the lament. And if you look at how the pattern of the psalm itself occurs, is laid out, it's in this pattern. Let those be ashamed and humiliated who seek my life. Let those be turned back and dishonored who delight in my hurt. Let those be turned back because of their shame who say, aha, aha. Three parts, and then two parts that follow. David is lamenting his position and his hurt. That's not bad. And we may do that. But we ought not to stop there. We ought to pray. We ought to pray heartily in those circumstances in which God has placed us by His providence and in which we find sorrow. We ought to pray diligently, as we have here in chapel, that God's purposes will be fulfilled. Don't remain in that pool of self-pity and lamentation. Pray and seek the Lord. Notice the imprecations again. Let those be ashamed and humiliated. Let those be turned back and dishonored. Let those be turned back because of their shame. Ultimately, the shame and the dishonor and the humiliation that David speaks of is the shame and the humiliation and the dishonor that comes before the face of God. This is not a prayer in which David is seeking his own vengeance. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. And David knows that this is the case. And the shame and the humiliation and the dishonor that will come to those who reject God and reject His people will be very visible on the day of judgment. And I think this is principally what David has in mind. And in this life, God uses particular means to bring dishonor to those who shame His people and who violate His law. Think about Scott Peterson for a moment. Here's a man who has been found guilty of killing his wife and his unborn child. I would guess that the woman's parents and grandparents are quite eager for the sword of vengeance to fall. But how will it come? It will come in due course through the trial and the judgment and verdict of the jury, and God's vengeance will be carried out. And it's perfectly appropriate for the family to pray, "Let those be ashamed and humiliated who seek my life." It's very appropriate. And I think this is what David is getting at. And to whom does he look? He looks to the Lord. Look at the beginning of the psalm. "O God, hasten to deliver me. O Lord, hasten to help me." And the end of the psalm: "You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay." And who is the Lord? We know, do we not? It is Jesus Christ who sits on the throne of the majesty on high. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And he will bring about his rule and his reign as he wills. How does Christ execute the office of a king? Christ executeth the office of a king in subduing us to himself, in ruling over us and defending us, and in restraining and conquering all of his and our enemies. He will bring in his kingdom. He will execute his rule. And we must pray to him, and we must seek his kingdom and pray, "O Lord, your kingdom come. May your rule be revealed in this world and against all of your enemies and my enemies too. Because if I am truly on your side, if I am truly following you, those who mount up against me and against your church are your enemies." Is this not the case? And so we pray to the Lord. And friends, deliverance comes. And in that deliverance, what is God's desire but to exalt his great name? Isn't this what God wants in the end? Not to exalt you and me, but to exalt his name. Look again at the text. "Let all you who seek you, let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you, and let those who love your salvation say continually, let God be magnified." God will be magnified in the deliverance that he brings to you and to me in the various circumstances through which he leads us. And this may not always be very public. I think this is one of the very interesting things about how God works and how God's purposes play out. I have a very dear friend in Kansas who attends Sterling Reformed Presbyterian Church, Dave. And Dave just underwent radical prostate surgery. And he told me that when he was coming out of the anesthetic, lying on that table, he heard these words: "Give him the nitro now!" And he thought to himself, "Am I dying?" "I feel my hands. I feel my legs are still there. But if God is going to take me now, that's all right. That was his testimony. And is not God magnified in that testimony? And is not the grace of God magnified in that testimony? I think so. And this is part of the way in which God does do His work in our lives. As He brings us into trial and shows us His deliverance and magnifies His great name through His grace and through the gospel. And so, when the difficulty comes, you may lament. I think that's appropriate. As in the case of David right here. And you may cry out to God for deliverance. And how God brings that deliverance is in His hands. And in the end, will God not magnify His great name in your life? And that is part of His purpose, that you may stand with David and understand that you will be able to shout aloud as David does, "Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you, and let those who love your salvation say continually, let God be magnified." And so in the circumstance you find yourself and in the circumstance I find myself, we may pray as we lament. And God will bring the deliverance He sees fit to magnify His great name. Let it be so, dear friends, in each one of our lives. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your Word and the encouragement that it gives us. May we be pleased to understand the psalmist and what he gives to us and how it directs each one of our lives and the situations we may find ourselves in before You. Be pleased to bring deliverance, and be pleased, O our God, to magnify Your great name in and through each one of our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.